Well, we turn then to that passage that we read together in the first book of Kings and chapter 12. And we remind ourselves of that last verse of the previous chapter. Solomon, after this glorious reign that he'd lived, Queen of Sheba coming to see all of his riches and so on, and then the way in which he fell away and got involved with what the Bible calls strange women, really, it's their religion that was the problem. So anyhow, verse 43, Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So we're at the beginning of a new reign. Rehoboam, his son, is succeeding Solomon on the throne. Now our passage divides fairly easily into two halves. The first 15 verses he goes to Shechem to be crowned. So it's the crowning, the launching of his kingship over the northern tribes, that is. And then in the second half, verses 16 to 24, we see the emergence of the divided kingdom, the division between the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. So I want to just go through those two sections to remind ourselves of what happens, because it has actually quite involved with the intermingling of the promises and God's plans, his purposes, what he's working out, and the disobedience of men, how those all things all interact, and yet God achieves his purposes. So I want to just go through those two sections. And then thirdly, I want to come back to our text, which will be verse 15. So we begin then in verses 1 to 15, as Rehoboam goes to Shechem to be crowned. We read that in verse 1, that he'd gone to Shechem to be crowned. Shechem is situated in northern Ephraim, and it's a place which was important historically. Important because it had been a religious center. We first encounter it in Genesis chapter 12, where Abraham was there. And it was here that God promised him that all of these lands around Shechem would one day be owned by his successors. So it was very significant in the life of Abraham. And then as the years unfolded, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, each of them in time built an altar there and worshipped at Shechem. Then we come to the fact that David was anointed king over Israel at Hebron. To be king over Israel, the northern tribes, he'd actually gone to Hebron. And so it seemed quite reasonable that Rehoboam, the new successor to Solomon, that in order to become king of those northern tribes, that he should go to be crowned. An appropriate thing to do, but he didn't quite realize what he was doing. He went there to meet the 10 northern tribes, and he found he was faced with a question. He thought he'd gone to be crowned. It says that in the first couple of verses. But in verses 3 and 4, we read this, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. He hadn't expected this. He'd gone there to be crowned. And he finds that he's faced with this question. What are you going to be like as a taxing king? Are you going to burden us? And it's certainly true that his father, Solomon, there had been weighty taxes and responsibilities. Remember, Solomon was a great builder. And so each of the tribes had a tally of men that they had to provide every so often to take part in the building process. You can read about that in 1 Kings 5. And in 1 Kings 4, you can read about the taxes, because, of course, all this building costed money. And so you can understand that they were feeling that they'd been fairly heavily taxed. But now Solomon was dead. Surely the building is now over. Isn't it reasonable to expect that perhaps the taxes will be reduced a bit? And so they're looking to the main chance. And what's more, they've actually summoned Jeroboam. Now, you might remember that Jeroboam had served Solomon in the previous chapter. And in fact, he'd be in charge of some of the workforces working for Solomon in the building process. And Solomon has seen him as a very able young man and been quite impressed by him. But then he met the prophet. Remember from last time, chapter 11, and the prophet had this new garment on, which he took off and tore into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "You shall have 10, and I'll give 2 to Rehoboam." In other words, you will one day be king over the 10 northern tribes. And Rehoboam, Solomon's son, would only have 2 tribes. He thought he was getting all 12. But that's what's going to happen here. That's what the prophet in chapter 11 had prophesied. And here we see it beginning to unfold. Jeroboam, having received that prophecy, had to flee into Egypt because Solomon heard about it. We read that again in chapter 11. And started to try to destroy him. And so he fled for his life, this able young man who'd served Solomon so well. He fled to Egypt to keep safe. But now the northern tribes summon him. So Rehoboam comes. He thinks he's coming to his coronation ceremony. But he comes to find he faces questions about his future policy on taxing and labor forces. And who should be the spearhead of the questioning? Jeroboam. That man that his father had sought to kill and had fled into hiding in Egypt. So you see, the situation is not really quite what he'd expected. He'd expected, just like David, going to the northern tribes, to a chosen location, to be crowned and all to be well. But it's far from that. So what will he do? Well, we read it, didn't we? He said, "Well, give me 3 days to think about it." And he consulted the old man. And the old man gave him good advice. If you'll only listen to them.